Thank you, Brother Will. I'm just going to go ahead and confess that I thoroughly enjoyed the message that Brother Harrelson blessed to preach to us this evening. I think it's very important for young ministers to thank God for the men that God has blessed them to know, to enjoy listening to. And by the way, it's just important for young preachers to listen.
Amen.
My daddy often would tell me that God gave me two ears and one mouth, and I should listen at least twice as much as I talk. Now, that's a difficult task for a Loudermill. Yeah. I told Brother Harold Hunt, I quoted a text there on the pew. The law and the prophets were until John, and since that day the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. That's not pressing into the doors. It's pressing against something in order to enter into the doors. We press against the temptations of carnality, the temptations of Satan, the troubles of this world. I press against the mouth that I could listen more. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." I want to publicly thank men like Brother Harold for their labors. They saved young preachers like me a lot of legwork and study. I remember a time in my life I was a little ashamed of my daddy. And if anyone's ever been a teenager, you went through that. I can remember daddy picking me up at school and someone would ask, "Is that your dad?" "No, that's my uncle." But now I thank God he allowed me to be his son.
Yeah.
Often in the pulpit I borrow. I borrow from my dad. I borrow from Brother Harold. Us Primitive Baptist preachers we're thieves. We're thieves. Brother J.R. Rakes told me once about a sermon he preached in Arkansas, and finally he got back home and somebody was back in Virginia preaching that same sermon. I'm going to borrow quite a bit tonight from my father's in the ministry, and I'd like first to read the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I didn't plan on using this tonight, but it's on our mind, and we'll trust that the Lord would lead and direct us. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5:17, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And we'll trust that tonight we'll follow that will. Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, begins writing by the inspiration of God. That's important for us to remember. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I talked to a man once. He said, "We know that the truth is found in the red letters of the Bible." I said, "Well, what about the black letters in the Bible?" "Well, they're okay too." I said, "Well, what about the time before about 1920 when there wasn't red letters in the Bible? Do they have any truth?" All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Solomon writes, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." And notice this word, "or." This is a different way to look at this. "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, and the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. I remember a time in my life that death was not something that I thought about often. When a man is 18 and 19 and 20 years old and in the midst of his vigor, he doesn't think about death. At age 35, Brother Harold, there's very little thought I would put toward death. Just a young preacher, as some older preachers say, just a whippersnapper that thought he might know something. I stand before you in a 41-year-old body. There's days I think about death. If you tonight have not thought about death, if the Lord doesn't come back, you will think about it. Brother Harold quoted a text in Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. The next verse says, he springeth forth as a flower, and is cut down and fleeth as a shadow, and continueth not. Have you ever took a long journey? My wife and I used to take long journeys up to Virginia for preaching trips, and her family lives in Washington, D.C., and it'd be in the just right at the break of spring, and you'd travel, and everything, there was nothing. Nothing in the median, dead grass, and on the way back, there's flowers everywhere. Just bam, there it was. Just came out of nowhere. Spring had sprung. That's the way my life has been. So short. I was at Daddy Mama's Tuesday, and Daddy's got a picture of me. He says, that's my little man. And I look at him, I said, you little man's an old man now, Daddy. He said, I can remember you sitting on my lap. He said, it just seems like yesterday. Anyone here that has a child could relate to that. It seems like yesterday. And he fleeth as a shadow. Yesterday, Jennifer and I were coming back from Joshua's soccer practice. And there was a picture of the sun going down in the distance. And it was just going down so fast. She said, I need to get a picture of that sunset. And, of course, we were driving around like maniacs. And I told Jennifer, I said, look, we're going to have an accident, get a ticket all before we get home from the soccer practice. But that picture meant a lot to her, and it was going down so quick. That shadow, everything's going fast. It's going fast. Does it seem like your life is getting away from you quicker and quicker? Fleeth as a shadow. Solomon writes here, to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because there's a time coming, young people of the church, when your mind will not be as free as it is today. And it's important for a young person to give their mind to the study of the Word, to the service of God, because as you get older, your mind is cluttered with more thoughts. My mind is just saturated with things of this world so much that I'll sit down and I'll think about a bill that's due, something I need to do to the car, something I need to do at work, something I forgot to do yesterday for Jennifer. Give the best you've got to God. Solomon says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when they shall say, I have no pleasure in them. As a man gets older, he loses more and more pleasure in the days. Days aren't as special. Sometimes it's like, well, I dread tomorrow. I went through this pain today of arthritis. Tomorrow's just another day. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Joshua and I sometimes will sing a song, you know, rain, rain, go away, come again another day. And when you're young, it seems like you always got another sunlight to look forward to. You know, today was such a hard day, but you know, things are going to be brighter tomorrow. I think the little orphan Annie used to sing about that song about tomorrow. The sun's going to come out tomorrow, but as you get older, you have less of those days to look forward to. It just seems like I'm caught in a grave. My daddy recently went through some cancer surgery, then a knee replacement surgery, and he'd tell me, I don't think I'll ever get over this, Ronnie. It's not a sunlight in sight. What? in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. My mama's daddy is a very strong farmer. I never saw him wear anything but pointer overalls my entire life. High back pointer overalls. He'd wear blue jean overalls during the week, and on Sunday he'd wear the stripes to church on Sunday. Strong man. I remember watching him plow a mule. He loved to plow a mule. But in his old age, he got to a point where he couldn't hold a coffee cup because his hand would tremble. He'd spill his coffee in his lap. Granny had to only pour him a half a cup. I can remember asking my mama, why does Papa shake so? Mama said, he's just getting old. He's getting old. See, the clouds are never going away. And the strong men shall bow themselves. My daddy's daddy was just kind of my hero growing up. He wasn't a very spiritual man, Brother Harold. He's a very intelligent man, but one of the strongest men I've ever met. I can honestly tell you I've never seen him afraid. Never. If he is ever afraid, I never saw it. I saw him carry sacks of fertilizer just across the field. I seen him pick up things that I didn't think a man could pick up. He never called me Ronnie a day in his life. He always called me Bunk. I was his little Bunk. I spent as much time with him as I did my own daddy. He just picked me up and carried me all the way across the field. But as he got older, he began to bow over. More and more. That strong man, he bowed. I was in the hardware store one day, and this little sister came in, and my heart just yearned. She barely looked up to ask me what she wanted. All bowed over. I remember my little Granny Murphy, that's Mama's mama. Before she died there in the nursing home, she just placed her hands on her knees. Strong men had bowed themselves, and the grinders ceased because they are few. Mom and Daddy used to really work with me and David about brushing our teeth every morning. Joshua, I work with him. Brush your teeth every morning. And sometimes he wonders why I go behind him and check. Because I don't believe he brushes his teeth every morning. Because those teeth are important. We're going to need those teeth. But as we get older, we'll begin to lose those teeth. They're brought to few numbers. Finally get to a point where like a brother would have to have his food minced and brought to small particles for him to eat. And those that look out the windows, they'd be darkened. As a man's vision would get less and less. I'm a witness to that. I can't see near as good as I used to. Can't see even close to what I want to. I remember a time I was in Danville, Virginia, and I preached a sermon, and the Lord blessed me to quote a lot of scripture, and I tried to read a few scriptures and couldn't read it. My wife said, I'm glad you could quote them because you sure couldn't read them. But as we get older, our eyes are darkened more and more. My daddy, I'll take my Bible, I'll use this little Cambridge Bible. He'll say, I can't even see that. I can't see it. Verse 4 says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. As a young man, we know we can go anywhere and find a job, right? Man right out of school, he just goes anywhere. Hey, this is a young guy. We've got a lot of future in him. This man can work for us 20, 25 years. What about a 65-year-old man that goes to a workplace and says, hey, I'm gonna put my application in for a job. How many opportunities do you think he gets in the world? I know where this man at right now that's 47 years old that was turned down for a job because of his age. They were looking for someone in their 20s. There's a lot of doors. I mean, you have a lot of openings when you're young, but as you get older, the doors begin to shut. There's not as many opportunities as there used to be. When the sound of the grinders grinding is low, your hearing is going away. When I first took the church at Mount Perrin, the majority of the membership were elderly. Of course, then I've been to Macedonia. I moved around a lot in the pulpit. I was always nervous. Brother Harold told me before he preached tonight, he said, "Don't." The greatest thing he fears is not being nervous and not being afraid. I was nervous and afraid. I reminded Brother Harold the first time that I saw him face to face. I was very young, and Jennifer and I were in the Pigeon Forge area, and Brother Larry asked me to preach on a Sunday morning. And Brother Harold, after I preached, he came and talked to me, and I said, "I am so glad that I didn't know that was you in the congregation." Because I said, "I would have been so nervous I couldn't have preached." But I would move around a lot. I can remember one of the deacons of the church telling me, you need to get close to that microphone because the people in the church can't hear you." I was wondering why I never got amen. And sometimes, you know, you'll hear the hearing aid begin to make a whistle. The congregation is because their hearing is brought low. Lord bless those people that still come. "And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird." I remember when I was in high school, I thought to myself, "Boy, when I get out of this school, I'm going to start sleeping late." And then I got a job. And then I had a job of going to school and living by myself and didn't get much sleep. But the entire time that we're working jobs, which I'll be glad when I can get to a point where I can retire so I can start sleeping late. How many of you have said that to yourself? "One day I'm going to start sleeping late." My grandpa told me, he said, before he died, he said, "Ain't no sleeping late when you get old, Ron. Ain't no sleeping late when you get old, Bob." I'd get up as early as I could get up to try to meet him. Oh, he'd been up for hours. "He'd rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low, when they shall be afraid of that which is high." I remember Papa asking me, "You're going to have to get on the roof and do some work for me, Bunk." He said, "I can't do that. I can't stand high places." You know, even at 41 years old, I get nervous now being too high. I can remember when I first began working industrial maintenance in my early 20s, you didn't show me where to climb. Sometimes I just climbed things just to be climbed. I climbed a water tower one day, and I was up so high you couldn't see me. I just wanted to climb it, see if I was climbing. They called me on my radio, "You get down, young man." I just want to see how high I can go up. But I did a little work for a guy on a TV antenna. Things look a little different to me now. I'm holding on to a few more things. "And fear shall be in the way." I noticed, you know, my daddy and mama, they hold on to a lot more than they used to. Afraid of falling. Afraid of anything. There's some guys come down the road there where Daddy lives. If you've ever been to his house, there's nothing there but family pride. It's just a huge farm, chicken farms and fields, and nothing's there. And Daddy said there's some men come out the road. He said, "I don't know if they were salesmen or if Bobby knew them or whatever, but he said, I thought, I wish they would leave." He said, "I'm afraid of these guys." There's a time in my daddy's life he'd have walked back there and just talked with them. He was afraid. His fear's in the way. His strength has left him. He took off his shirt Tuesday and he had some cancer removed from his back and he's beginning to dry up. And I hug Mama and I can feel her bones. Fears are in the way. He worries more. Worries more about what the doctor's going to say the next time he goes to the doctor. "And the almond tree shall flourish. His hair has turned white." "And the grasshopper shall be a burden." I can remember having conversations with with Papa Ben, he would be worried about the little things troubling his garden. Can't sleep at night thinking about bugs being in his garden and things troubling his crops. Grass, it's the small things a burden to him. And desire shall fail. My papa, he fished all his life. I can remember his hands, he'd got sunburned so many times fishing, his hands were like leather. I can remember he and Daddy and I fishing, and boy, he was on the lake all day, and if you want to go every day, that's fine. He'll fish all day, all night. But it got to a point when I'd go by and pick him up in the boat, he said, I just don't feel like going today, Mom. Just don't feel up to it. Sometimes it's tough to even get him to go to town to get his daily necessities. It's just desires faith. Brother Harold could probably tell you a time in his life when he was happy to go and go and go, but it gets to a point where he don't want to go as much as you used to, Brother Harold.
That's right. That's right.
Because man goeth to his long home. I love that, don't you? Home, home. And the mourners go about the streets. He dies. Notice this word or, the next verse. There's another way to look at this. Sometimes we think about death, it seems so terrible and tragic. I've talked with people who just thought, oh, death is so tragic, it's so horrible. There's a hymn in our songbook. It was written in memory of something S.A. Payne said. Oh, how sweet to die. The first time I heard that, I thought, this man was out of his mind. Oh, how sweet to die. There's a different way to look at this than the way the world looks at it. My few years of study, I've come to realize the world doesn't know anything at all. Nothing at all. You know the reason we've got so much trouble in government? Carnality is ruling. Spirituality's been thrown out the window. That's the reason we've got a president who's asked a question concerning creation. And the 6 days, his answer was this, maybe those days weren't like the days we're having today. Not a spiritual thought. And of course, you know, someone's going to come to you and say, well, you know, Peter said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. What's your response to that, Brother Ronnie? My response is this. If one day with God is exactly 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day, God is subject to the very time He created. And He will grow older and He will die. This is figurative language describing something literal. And someone would say, well, it can't be figurative and literal at the same time. Well, what if I said it was raining cats and dogs outside? Is that figurative or literal? Someone says it's figurative. Go outside and see how figuratively you get wet. I use figurative language to describe something literal. What Peter is saying is time doesn't exist with God the way it does with us. That's all he's saying. And the reason that man had that, and by the way, here's another proof that those were 6 24-hour days. If they were 1,000-year periods, Adam only lived 930 years. He died before he got to the day of rest. Come on, sometimes common sense is the best sense to have. And then another person would say, why didn't God take 6 days? Because He wanted to. That's the only answer He wanted to. David said in Psalms 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever He had pleased. Job said, Job 23:12, He's the one mind who could turn Him, but what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. Because He wanted to. The reason we get a response from a president like that is that man is not thinking about anything spiritual. Another way to look at this, or ever the silver cord be loosed. For years and years and years, there were Jewish men of the law as students of the spiritual things of God. They would write about a silver cord that connected this body and our soul and spirit. You know, man is made up of a soul, body, and spirit. He's three in one because he's declaring the glory of the Lord. Things that God does will declare His glory. I mean, the glory of God is a three in one Godhead. There's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Those those things of God, they declare His glory. Even Noah's Ark that God commanded Noah to build, it was three stories, yet one ark. The tabernacle in the wilderness had an outer court, a sanctuary, holiest of all, three in one. God made this universe, you and I, one, you know, cycle has one wheels, it's made up of space, time, and matter. It's declaring the glory of the Lord. Man is 3-1. Man is different from a dog. Jennifer and I, we've had some dogs, and I love my little puppies I've had, but my puppy's not a man. The world in which we live, sometimes people get things a little out of perspective. Save the whales. Not worried about the baby. It's out of perspective. Have more regard for a creature that's a by creature more so than a something that's declaring the 3-in-1 Godhead. A man. When a man dies, that body goes to the ground. Sure, the body goes into the ground. These grave sites out here, the bodies of those people, that's them. Their body is in the ground, but their soul and spirit's not there. There was a separation of that soul and spirit. I believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's case, it said they were gathered to their father. Or gathered to their people. That's right. Gathered to their people. And their body was buried. But notice this doesn't say the silver cord was broken. It says the silver cord was just loose. Why? Because one day it's going to be put back together. Who's going to put that back together? The Lord will. Brother Harold, he read the text there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13, I think through 18. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Christ both died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Notice the separation. There's something asleep in Jesus and something He's bringing with Him. It's the same person. Their body's asleep in the ground. Their soul and spirit's coming back with the Lord. That body will come out of the ground and be joined back with that soul and spirit in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Got that? It's just loose for a little while. Brother Marty shaking his head. Amen, Brother Marty. I thank you for that. It's just loose. Or the golden bowl be broken. You know, these clothes that I have on tonight, I could throw them in a hole in the ground, and over time they'll turn to dust. And you know, they're gone. It's gone. You can throw some wood in the ground and by the labor of termites and insects, time, it'll just turn dust, dirt. Years ago, there was a cemetery that was on a piece of land that Lake Hartwell was going to back up over. And there were some families notified, if you want to get your family member's remains, you need to come and get it before the lake backs over. And some people went out and dug, and they dug at one grave site and found nothing but one handle of the casket. The casket went back to the dirt. But this has a golden bowl. Do you know I could take all the gold that everyone's wearing in this room and I could grind it into small pieces and I could throw it into the ground. And me and Brother Harry Martin could take tractors and just stir it all up. But through enough labor, you can bring it all right back together. You know, this body, even though it's going into the ground, and my soul and spirit's going to this long sought home, God's going to put this body back together. It's called a golden bowl. God's going to put it back together. And I know people would have opposition to that. Oh, you really don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think that could really happen. Well, see, it's not me that's going to do this. It's the Lord that's going to do it. I mean, the God that created this world out of nothing. He hung the sun on nothing. He said, let there be light, and the light shine. I mean, a God that stopped the sun in Joshua's day, that turned back the sun in Hezekiah's day, that destroyed this world with a flood, that one day will destroy it with fire, that was born of a virgin at Bethlehem, that one day He's going to bring, put that body back together, and it's coming out of the ground.
Amen.
He's going to put it back together. And I know someone would say, well, you, listen, Brother Ron, what if there's a man that's a sailor that's thrown overboard of a ship, and the shark eats the man, and then someone shoots the shark and eats the shark. How is that going to happen? God's going to put it back together. I don't know all the how about it, but he's going to put it back together. I don't have all the answers about the how. I just know he's going to do it. I believe he's going to do it. Why? This book tells me he's going to do it. I believe this book. You may not believe this, but I believe that there was a whale that swallowed Jonah. But if this book said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd still believe it. I believe it. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. Don't you think about a fountain of water and men that would come from different places of the city to come and get a pitcher of water, and then they'd take it back home for their water to do them for that night. Come back to this fountain like an old well, take it back home. You know, I've been doing that for years in the church. You know, here in this world, a little child of God, he needs his pitcher filled every once in a while. Where do I get it filled? I want to come listen to a gospel preacher on Sunday morning.
Yes. Yes.
You know the reason most people haven't got anything to tell? They didn't heard anything. If you want something to tell, you need to come and listen to something. So I come every Sunday, and I get my little pitcher filled, but my pitcher's got a hole in it. You know, this clay vessel, it's got a crack in it. Have you ever heard anybody call someone else a crack pot? I'm an old crack pot. I got a crack. I got a hole in my pitcher. I'm losing all the time. That's the reason we should take most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we let them slip. The word slip there is like something that's getting away from you. By the way, that's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. It's getting away from you. It's like if you've ever been to the lake fishing a boat, and you tie the boat and you look for something else like your tackle box, you reach to get in, the boat's gone. It slipped away from you. Those things of the Lord that we have because we live in this world and we have this carnal flesh to battle with, it's getting away from us. Daily it's getting, so I have to come back and get some more. I have to go back and read again that it's by grace I'm saved.
Amen.
I have to go back and listen again to a sermon on the resurrection. Why? Because it's getting away from me. It's getting away from me. That's why it's important for men of God and their pulpits continually and yearly as pastors of the church to labor with the doctrines of grace. Why? If we don't, people forget about it. Amen. People forget about the little wise man that delivered the city by his wisdom. I told Brother Harold sitting on the pew there, he asked me, he said, I guess it's all right to preach a sermon that you preached before. I said, years ago there's a young man, Brother Harold, that preached a sermon and then he went to another place and preached the same sermon. And there's a preacher about my age, instead of the young man, he's a one-horse wagon. You've heard him once. You heard all he knows. And there's an older preacher pecked on his back and said, maybe God will give you something worth preaching twice one day. I keep going back with that little, but you know, one day when I'm in the presence of God, I won't need that. I'll be standing by the fountain.
Amen.
Yes.
Standing right there, face to face. I no longer need this little pitcher. I'll be there close to those rivers of water. I'll be listening to the greatest preacher of all. His name's Jesus. And if I preach anything tonight, my hope is it's been preached before by the Lord. The apostles. Or the wheel be broken at the cistern. How many of you in your life, you feel like a wheel that's just going round and around and around and around? Someone says, boy, my wheels are turning. My wheels are turning. I get tired of the wheel turning. My wife looked at me the other day and said, I need a nap. I need a nap too. I get tired of some wheel turning. There's a story about a man once. He was at a gas station. He went from pillar to post and pillar to post, and somebody said, where are you from? He said, I don't know. Which way was I going? He said, you were going that way. He said, Lord bless me, I was going home. He went back and forth so much he forgot where he was going. But one day, that wheel's going to break. That wheel stopped turning. I'll rest with my Lord. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it. When? When I die.
That song says, "Oh, how sweet to die." But I could see him. Sometimes you talk to people and they say it don't get no better than this. If it didn't get any better than this, just let me off the bus right now. Let me off the bus. I gotta have something better than this. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. As far as in this world is concerned, it doesn't get any better than this. The service to God in the house of God. But there's something better than this. Paul longed for a better place. I'm going to quote one more text to you and we're going to cease. David said in Psalms chapter 27, verse 13, he said, "I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And if it was for my hope and earnest expectation of that day, I would have fainted long ago. And may God richly bless you."
Amen. Amen.